Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Across the state, different North Carolina communities have various opinions on how they can spend tax dollars that have been earmarked for tourism. Charlotte collects those hospitality taxes by imposing them on restaurant meals and drinks, bar tabs, hotel room charges, etc. And because they are collected from places that improve the tourist experience and places that tourists use, those taxes collected have always been used to pay for tourism-related projects like improving our major athletic facilities. But other cities, like Asheville, take those same funds and use them for other purposes. In the past, when money needs have arisen here and civic leaders have pointed to those tourism tax dollars as a possible source of funding, they've quickly been told no, that the law mandates they be used in a certain way, but what really constitutes something that aids in tourism? And why can Asheville take one approach, why Charlotte must take another? Tony Macia and Felicia Sanmez are here to take us through that. Tony, of course, is the editor of the Charlotte Ledger. He appears weekly here with Marshall Terry on WFAE's Morning Edition on Thursdays. And Felicia Sanmez is a growth and development reporter at Blue Ridge Public Radio. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. So, Tony, I'm going to start with Charlotte. The basics. I just gave a thumbnail of view of how our tourist or hospitality taxes are collected and spent, but be more specific. Exactly how are the taxes earmarked for tourism and collected from tourists and from locals as well? How do we do this?
Yeah, I'd love to give you a simple answer for that, but it's actually rather complicated. As you mentioned, there are
buckets. We have an hour.
All right. Well, you gave a thumbnail. I'll try and give something that's a little bigger than whatever, a thumbnail. It's a little bit complicated. You know, as you mentioned, there are various sources of tourism tax revenue that go to the city or go to the county. And this incidentally varies by county in North Carolina. As you probably know, in North Carolina, cities and counties can only do what the legislature allows them to do. And when it comes to spending tourism taxes and raising tourism taxes, that varies county by county, municipality by municipality. In Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County, you have, as you mentioned, money from hotel occupancy taxes, rental car taxes, food and beverage taxes. And those are all designated generally for certain things. Some of it goes for the Charlotte Convention Center. Some of it goes for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Some of it goes for tourism promotion. And then the city council also appropriates some of these funds for various projects. As you mentioned, some of the sports stadiums, the renovations to the Spectrum Center where the Charlotte Hornets play. You know, there's about $275 million that the council just earmarked for that. Everybody knows that the Carolina Panthers are going to be asking for what it sounds like is a rather large ask to renovate their stadium. You know, there's money to support the Carolina Theater. There's money to support the Eastland Mall renovation. You know, the city was able to scare up $65 million for the Western and Southern Open tennis tournament. Didn't wind up coming. So it's a long way of saying this money is dedicated by statute for some things. And for other things, there is some authority that various entities have for allocating that money for tourism purposes. So that's sort of I know it's a long explanation, but that's okay. Sort of the broad explanation of how that works here.
So what does the law say specifically to Mecklenburg County about how these taxes, once collected, can be spent?
Again, there are complicated formulas on how these monies are divided up. You know, money collected in Mecklenburg, for example, a portion of it goes to the towns, goes to Huntersville, Davidson, Cornelius, Mint Hill, Pineville. A portion of it goes to the city. A portion of it is spent by the tourism authority. And a portion of it is in state statute dedicated directly for the convention center and the debt on the convention.
But
center.
I mean, is the convention center, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, amateur sports facilities with less than 60,000 seats? Is that I can't think of a single amateur sports facility that we support, but maybe there is one. Is that spelled out in the law governing how we spend this money, or is it simply said you have to spend this on things that serve and generate tourist dollars?
The answer is yes. Yes, it's, for the convention center, there is a separate in-state law, a set aside to pay for the convention center, for that a portion of the hotel money goes for the convention center. Other portions of the money that the city and the municipalities receive is left to the discretion of the city council, and in some cases they've delegated that to the tourism authority for tourism promotion. So there is some, you've had people on this show say, our hands are tied, this is, you know, the state law dictates how this is spent, we don't have a lot of, we don't have a lot of say-so in how this money is spent, but they do. I mean, they do. And now they believe that it can only go for things that directly generate tourism and hospitality. And the state law does say it has to go for things that support tourism and tourism-related expenses. Now, and how Charlotte has defined that is very narrowly. And so that's why you see a lot of expenditures on, the sports teams, things that generate people coming to Charlotte, staying in hotels, going out to eat, directly. Now, Asheville, I know, has taken a little bit of a different approach, but the law governing Buncombe County is different than the law governing Mecklenburg.
Well, let's talk about that. Felicia Sommes is here. She's with the Blue Ridge Public Radio. She lives in Utopia, at least when it comes to at least when it comes to being able to spend tourist tax dollars. Asheville is known for tourism. It's one of the reasons you exist, I think. How does your city collect these taxes from tourists? What are the sources of those tax dollars?
So, yes, as Tony was mentioning, this is a huge issue, and especially here in Buncombe County. According to the latest statistics from the state, Buncombe is the third largest recipient of occupancy taxes in the state. Mecklenburg is number one with about $63 million as of the recent numbers. Buncombe were around $37.5 million. So this is a lot of money that we're talking about here. So it makes sense that there's a lot of debate about this. Here in Asheville and Buncombe County, there is a Tourism Development Authority, which is charged with managing how that money gets spent. Every time somebody stays at a hotel, an Airbnb, a bed and breakfast, they will pay a 6% occupancy tax in the county. So that's higher. I think that's the highest rate that you can have in the state. They range from, I think, about 1% to 6%, depending on where you are. And the definition, as Tony mentioned, varies depending on where you are. So currently 90 counties and 110 municipalities are authorized by the state to enact an occupancy tax. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not just occupancy, is it? Do you also charge extra for restaurant meals, bar tabs, drinks in restaurants, etc.?
I believe so. I think okay. That's something that Asheville would enact. I'm not entirely sure if that's included in this. I believe it's just for the stays at commercial lodging.
And given how many people come to Asheville for various different reasons, but mostly because they like the mountains and they want to go to Biltmore, etc., how much money does this tax bring in?
So, yes, as of the most recent numbers, it's about $37.5 million annually. That was from fiscal year 2021 and 22. In recent years, I believe it's gone more than $40 million. So, yes, it's really a lot of money here.
So, Tony, same question to you. How much does our tourism tax or the hospitality tax rake in over the course? And what is the rate here? It's not 6%.
Yeah, the city council heard a committee of the Charlotte City Council heard a presentation last week about this, and they heard that the current numbers are about $80 million that are brought in Mecklenburg County for the hotel motel tax, and about $50 million for the 1% food and beverage tax. So that's about $130 million. There's a little smaller amount for rental car, but those numbers, by the way, are at all-time highs. They've recovered from COVID. The numbers are increasing. We're seeing a lot more people coming here, staying here. So this it is a fairly significant amount of money. As far as the amount of the hotel motel tax, I'm not 100% sure on that. I think it is a little bit.
I think it's 2% on hotel rooms, 1% on prepared food. It's yes. much lower than Asheville for whatever reason. Maybe because we get more people because we are the largest tourist attraction in the state, which always surprises me. But then I live here. Asheville seems to be able, Felicia, to use the money it collects on tourism taxes in different ways. In the past, how has Asheville used the money it collects through that tax?
So Asheville has used, or Buncombe County, I should say, the Tourism Development Authority are the ones who are, you know, holding the reins here. And yeah, they've got a long list of projects that they've put that money toward. Anything from local greenways to renovations to certain our civic center, local museums, the Western North Carolina Nature Center, community theaters. I'm just, there's a very long list of projects that they've put that money toward. At the same time, there are still areas that a lot of local elected officials and residents are actually pushing them to go further on. So the big one right now is affordable housing. As you know, the price of housing increases here, a lot of people who work in the service industry and who are making it possible for a lot of these tourist sites to operate and restaurants and hotels, the workers are being forced out of Buncombe County due to the cost of living here. And so there are a lot of elected officials at the city and county level who have been pushing for the Tourism Development Authority to include affordable housing in that definition of tourism-related expenditures, which is the language in the law here. And it's all going to come to a head this month, actually. This is a really timely topic. The Tourism Development Authority has a meeting on April 24th, where they're going to be deciding the recipients of their latest round of funding when it comes to the money that they're able to put toward those specific capital projects. And there is a project from the county government to, I believe it's a $6 million affordable housing project that they would like to see built here in Asheville. And, or at least the part that would come from the occupancy taxes is about $6 million. It's unclear whether that will actually happen. The latest I've heard is that it seems a bit unlikely, and that's related to a recent court ruling in another part of the state, which I'm sure we can talk about in just a moment.
We will talk about that. How is the? I know that Tony.
Well,
if I could
jump in on this a little bit, Mike, just to clarify, I talked to on this topic. I talked to Asheville's mayor Esther Mannheimer about this a couple months ago, and the theory is it's not just we're just using this to build affordable housing. The theory is that we need workforce housing for the hospitality industry. That the leaders in Asheville and Buncombe County were seeing that the Tourism Development Authority had all this money, was spending a bunch of money. They sponsored the U.S. Open tennis tournament. You saw it on the courts. And that it was drawing a bunch of tourists to Asheville. But who's left paying for the infrastructure for all those tourists? It's the city of Asheville. And so the thinking is, well, there's not enough affordable housing, enough workforce housing for people in the tourism industry. So that by building affordable housing, the theory is that this is a tourism-related expense.
All right. I want to come back and talk about how the law governing Buncombe County and their tourist dollars is actually worded, because the idea of building affordable housing is something that was recently floated here by using some of these tourist dollars. And people have said, no, that's not tourism related. Clearly, you have a different point of view in Buncombe County. And we'll come back and we'll talk about that with Felicia Sanmez from Blue Ridge Public Radio and Tony Mesilla from the Charlotte Ledger. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. Tony Mesilla is here. He's the editor of the Charlotte Ledger. Felicia Sanmez is also with us, a growth and development reporter in Buncombe County in Asheville with Blue Ridge Public Radio. And we're talking about hospitality taxes, tourism taxes, how they are raised, how they are spent, and how different areas of the state, different counties, see this differently or are allowed to spend them differently. I'm not sure which is the case, whether they simply see them differently or whether it's actually the way the laws are written. And you may not be able to tell me the answer to this, Felicia, but how is the law worded there? In other words, if Asheville is thinking about and justifying building affordable housing so that hospitality workers who feed the tourist, literally feed the tourist industry, can afford to live there, if that's considered a tourism-related expense, is that because they've made that decision or they can justify that? Or is that in the law somehow, but it's not in our version of it?
So currently the law here states that the money must be spent on tourism-related expenditures. That's the official lingo. And the way that that is interpreted, I think, as you put it exactly right, you know, a lot of that just comes down to how each individual county interprets that and the amount of risk, I think, that they're willing to take. Here,
what, does that mean, risk?
Well, there is a fear, I think, among the Tourism Development Authority here in Buncombe County and other officials that if they stretch that definition too far, they may end up facing a legal challenge based on how they spend those funds. And that is a real risk. There was a recent court decision in the Outer Banks that I think in this past few months, you know, I think the mayor here in Asheville and other officials, you know, have, I think, been quite supportive of the idea of expanding that definition a little bit. But in the wake of that decision, I think everyone's kind of taking a step back and saying, wait a minute, we don't want to push this too far.
So, Tony, what I'm hearing Felicia say is that there's some vagueness to all of this, even though it's written out in some sort of a statute. There's some vagueness, and people are kind of pushing the envelope tentatively, hoping that they don't cross the line and incur the wrath of the legislature. Would that be accurate?
I think that's part of it. I think the dynamic that you also have in Buncombe County is you do have, I think generally, and Felicia can correct me if I'm wrong on this, is there is a little bit more of a consensus up there between the political and business leaders about how to spend some of this money. I mean, there was a change in the law related to Buncombe County a couple years ago in which they said, okay, we're going to take some of the money that you have to spend on tourism promotion and we're going to designate some of it for capital projects that benefit the community, where there's a benefit to the community and also benefit tourism. So that is definitely something that happened a couple of years ago. I don't know that you have quite that same, you have a consensus on it here in Mecklenburg, but it's not a consensus that we should be spending it on greenways and affordable housing like some people, you know, like Buncombe County does.
Yeah.
So I think the key is really trying to get that buy-in from the political and business leaders on how to use some of this money. But definitely they don't want to run afoul of the law, risk a lawsuit. But if you have a pretty wide, broad consensus between your political and business leaders, then I think that is something that's helpful.
In Asheville, they're talking about, as we just heard, putting some of this tourist tax money to work in affordable housing, maybe even transit. Tony, in the Charlotte Ledger, you point out that, quote, when the city of Charlotte agreed to put $215 million into upgrading the Spectrum Center where the Hornets play, it drew on the money collected from taxes on hotel rooms and dining out. When we upgraded Bank of America Stadium in 2013 at the cost of $88 million, we drew money from that pot of money. We will be using about $600 million of that money or more for stadium renovations in the near future, and we had planned to take $65 million out of that pot of money to build a tennis complex in the River District in our attempts to snag the Western and Southern Open, which were unsuccessful. Certainly, tourists go to the Hornets games. They go to the Panthers games. They would no doubt have gone to that tennis complex. And recently, a city council member suggested that we dip into that source of money to help fund our transit plan, which seems to be stuck in neutral, and make other infrastructure improvements as well. Will the law allow that? Because it could be argued that tourists would hop on the red line or the blue line or the pink line or whatever line it is and use it.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly argue that. I mean, you know, the light rail will go somewhat near the airport, for example. Would tourists, you know, take the future Silver Line from the airport to Uptown or to Matthews or wherever? Yeah, that's certainly an argument you could make. I do think if Charlotte were to start to do that, you would definitely see some pushback. I think it's clear that there's a split.
But why? It seems to me that tourists use the New York City subway all the time. They use the Metro in Washington all the time. They probably use the BART in San Francisco all the time. Why isn't a robust transit system a tourist attraction or something that facilitates and makes it easier for tourists who don't know the city to get around?
I mean, that's going to be the argument. I mean, there are, you know, two sides to that. Certainly, you know, just because tourists come to Mecklenburg County and do a lot of things, that doesn't necessarily mean that tourism tax money can be spent on anything related to what some tourist might do. I mean, I think it's probably a stretch to say that tourists use a majority of the trips on public transportation in Charlotte. But, you know, it certainly could be argued. I do think you would see some pushback from the hotel and motel operators and the tourism folks saying, this isn't really contributing to putting heads in beds, which is really what they want.
But when tourists get off an airplane at Charlotte Douglas and they want to come downtown, they get a cab or they get an Uber, or maybe they rent a car, maybe. Wouldn't it be easier for them to get on board a train that takes them right to Uptown Charlotte? Couldn't that be argued?
There's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the one arguing with you. I'm just telling you. There's going to be it's not a slam dunk case, I don't think, because the local hotel motel operators would like that money spent on things that invite more people here as opposed to infrastructure that supports people who are already coming. I don't know that anybody would say, I live in New York and I'm going to fly to Charlotte so I can ride the light rail. I don't know that anybody's actually done that. So they would, the tourism people, I don't know, Mike, I know you're a big light rail fan. I don't know if you've done that. You just like to ride the rails for fun. But there would be some pushback because they're focused on events. They're focused on things like Beyonce, drawing more Beyoncés to Charlotte to fill up hotel rooms, more, college football games, more college basketball games at Spectrum Center. They want more of those events and things that will draw more people here as opposed to supporting the infrastructure, that frankly is not used primarily as a tourist, by tourists.
But Tony, there's only one Beyonce. When this topic was brought up here recently, a man by the name of Vinay Patel, who chairs the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, said that if the city council or the county commission tried to change the way these tax dollars were spent, he would be the first person in Raleigh trying to have this tourism tax repealed. But in Asheville, political and business leaders have somehow reached a consensus to change this law to make it possible to distribute tourism taxes more broadly. Felicia, how did that happen? Why does there seem to be more of a consensus as to maybe affordable housing is a good idea for the tourism industry?
Well, I'll push back on that a little bit. I'll say it's still a very contentious issue here. And there has been a consensus in the past. For instance, in 2020, during the pandemic, a lot of officials across the political spectrum came together here to push for changes to our law so that some of that money could be spent on providing emergency assistance to local businesses that were struggling. And so that was a kind of one-time exception specifically carved out to help those businesses. One thing that I think is really important to remember here is that, try not to get too in the weeds. Basically, if you've got a whole pie of those, you know, $40 million in occupancy taxes that the county receives every year, currently there's a ratio for how those funds can be spent. So two-thirds have to be spent, according to our law, those two-thirds have to be spent on promotion So advertising. So every time you see those beautiful Explore Asheville TV ads or ads on you know, in airports or anywhere, that is all because we are mandated by law to spend that huge chunk of the money on promoting Asheville as a tourism destination. The other one third is the amount that when we talk about tourism related expenditures and using that on local projects, it's actually only one third of the entire pie. And of that one third is further divided into one half for tourism promotion development fund projects, which has been in place for many years. And then a separate fund called the Lift Fund, which is what the Tourism Development Authority here in Buncombe is going to be deciding on projects to fund later this month. So the law does have pretty strict requirements on how the total pie is divided. And I think recently, you know, to talk about the example that you and Tony were just discussing about transit in Charlotte, I think a lot of local officials now are looking at Currituck County in the eastern part of the state for a cautionary tale. Last month, there was an appeals court decision there. And that, I think, is that was a major red flag or
I want to get to that because they were trying to do some things down there that perhaps push the envelope a little too far, and it may have implications for the rest of the state, but I'll get to that in a second. Charlotte,
I do want to say, Mike, as it relates to transportation, if you consider greenways to be transportation, you know, Asheville has been building those with the support of tourism money, and that's never been controversial up there. I think the controversial new element, the plot twist, is the affordable housing element up there. But the greenways, you know, are used heavily, my understanding is, by tourists, and it's a draw. They can, you know, redevelop parts by the river, you know, arts district, something like that. And that's something that they do in Asheville that we have not done here in Charlotte.
And evidently, probably won't, because Phil Berger, part of our transportation plan is building more greenways and bike paths. And he said our transportation plan is dead on arrival in Raleigh because it relies too much on train and greenways and bikes and not enough on roads, which is what people use. Charlotte Mayor Vialios was on this program months ago, perhaps years ago, saying that she considers the hospitality tax as being for the local hospitality industry, one that they choose to levy on themselves for their own benefit. I'm not sure they made that choice. But is that really how it's viewed? Is the argument that these hospitality taxes a burden on restaurants and hotels something that is being kicked around by the hospitality industry? Because we just heard about Vinay Patel saying, if you don't use them for tourism, I'm going to lobby Raleigh to take them away.
Yeah, I mean, locally here in Charlotte, the hospitality industry does support these taxes. They support the hotel and motel taxes, and they recently supported from Mecklenburg County an extension of the 1% prepared food and beverage tax for an additional 30 years. So they do support those taxes. And incidentally, those were supported in Raleigh on a bipartisan basis. You know, if you have business leaders and political leaders coming to you from both parties saying this is something we want, then you can change, you can actually get the law changed. Now, the question of whether these are actually tourism taxes, certainly I think in the case of hotel and motel taxes, these are mostly people from outside the county. Prepared food and beverage taxes, on the other hand, while they are paid by people coming to Mecklenburg County, they're also paid by people like you and me, Mike, when we go out to eat or we get a sandwich at Harris Teeter, or you go to one of our many fine breweries. I mean, you're paying that tax. So the idea that that's a tourism tax, I think, is maybe not quite right.
Yeah. When Charlotte City Councilwoman Renee Johnson recently, I think within the last 2 weeks, proposed using some of this money for transit and other infrastructure projects, which is an idea she got from Buncombe County, Republican Councilman Ed Driggs said it was a conversation worth having. But fellow Councilman Malcolm Graham, a Democrat, said, with all due respect to Asheville, Asheville ain't Charlotte. That's a quote. And he called it a terrible idea. Tony, what's his reasoning there? And he's going to be on the program on Wednesday, so I will ask him this on Wednesday. But what do you think his reasoning is there?
Okay, if I can look into my crystal ball and say, what will Republican Councilmember Ed Driggs tell you about it? I think it opens up a can of worms. I think, first of all, it's something that wouldn't be supported by the local hospitality industry. So that's a problem. And then also, if the standard is this is something that is somehow tangentially related to tourism and we need to fund it, you can see all kinds of things could be possibilities. It is true that Asheville and Charlotte are different. I mean, Asheville does not have, aside from the single A baseball team, the Asheville Tourists, does not have professional sports teams. Incidentally, they did put in money, I think, to renovate that field recently, where the Asheville Tourists, which is actually the name of the team, I understand, plays. But, we have bigger sports teams here, and they, I don't know if I want to say they require tourism tax money, but they certainly have needs, and they are coming constantly to the city and county and state to say, you need to help us out here because we're a major tourism draw. So I think there are a number of reasons why you could see some opposition to this, although, obviously the flip side is Charlotte has a lot of needs. And if we have money that we can spend on some of those needs, why, should we take a look at that?
Tony, are they a tourism draw? I mean, has anybody ever looked into that? We've had many conversations with economists saying that putting civic money into stadia and arenas, the return on investment is practically nil. It doesn't have any impact at all. That a hotel can have a greater impact or an equal impact. But do we know if tourists come to town in any measurable great numbers to see a Panthers or a Hornets game? Because the Panthers are pretty much sold out.
That's true. I mean, some of those are from people outside of Charlotte. How many are staying for games? Staying in hotel rooms to watch the Panthers play the Saints on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know. The city does take a look at this, and in the staff's presentation to the city council committee last week, they did look at some of the events, and it wasn't so much just the Panthers and the Hornets, but it was, the Luke Combs and the Beyoncés. And obviously we missed out on Taylor Swift, but that would have been a big draw, clearly. There's a bunch of things going on at the Spectrum Center, the Jumpman Invitational, all kinds of events, So those, they are able to quantify that. The argument from economists is that this actually is sort of displacing other things. Your overall economy doesn't grow. It's an opportunity cost kind of a thing. So you're not really seeing that much of a return.
And the number of permanent employees are pretty much what a hotel would have or a big restaurant would have. We have to take a break. We're coming right back with more on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Mike Collins. Tony Macia is here, editor of the Charlotte Ledger, and Felicia Sanmez, growth and development reporter for Blue Ridge Public Radio. We're talking about the hospitality taxes and how they're used here and elsewhere around the state. In one article that you wrote recently, Tony, you wrote and you quoted Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer as saying she believes local government has flexibility to interpret these restrictions on how this money can be spent. She said, quote, "To me, they are like the Bible. You can read them to mean whatever you want." She's a lawyer. So is she playing fast and loose with the legal interpretation there or opening the process up to lawsuits?
Well, incidentally, this was a comment she made to me in January before this appeals court decision that Felicia mentioned came down. But I mean, the thinking is, at some point somebody has to decide what is tourism related expenditure. And generally, you look to the local level for people to decide, what is tourism related, given that you can say that's sort of a vague phrase. Someone's got to decide it. And, you can't, I don't know that you can justify it to mean absolutely anything, but I think she was saying there is some flexibility that municipalities have.
I don't know, Felicia, whether she said that to people in Asheville or not, but clearly that is her opinion and her approach to this. So has there been any measurable pushback, either from the tourism or business industry or from local citizens, about how you folks do that up there?
Absolutely, yeah. And I should note that, you know, the mayor here isn't the one who has the ultimate control over how those dollars get spent. So in this particular case, she is, you know, more on the side of the voices that are suggesting that there might be other ways to expand that definition. But yeah, I would say, you know, there's really been a lot of debate. Like, you know, people come to Asheville, as Tony mentioned, we don't have any major sports teams aside from the Asheville Tourists minor league baseball team. So things like greenways could be interpreted as one of those draws for tourists to come here. And that's one of the ways I think that the Tourism Development Authority has justified the use of those funds for things like that.
And tourism in Asheville, it would seem to me, really, in the absence of tourists, I would think you'd lose a lot of money to the local economy because they pump a lot of money into it. And Tony reported that in Asheville, there was concern that too much money from this tax, this tourist tax, was going to promote tourism and not enough on community needs. Your mayor said people had just had it, which is what led city leaders to work with Raleigh to change the law. Does it strike you in a tourist city that it's odd that the local residents would say, enough, give us some of that money?
I would say it's not odd at all. If you go to any local meeting here, I went to, you know, a meeting at a local elementary school recently where residents turned out en masse because a local swimming pool that, you know, has been beloved by the community for decades and believe it's more than 100 years old, they were told very abruptly by the city that that swimming pool was being shut down. And then a few weeks later, that very elementary school where the meeting was held, local officials announced that the school was going to be shutting down for the next year due to construction. And so it's a very fraught issue, I think, in Asheville, even though on the one hand, yes, it can be paradise in many ways. On the other hand, there's just a long-running debate over whether, you know, as one resident I interviewed recently at that meeting put it, anything that's not a hotel or a brewery really struggles to get funding here. And you're seeing it with a lot of infrastructure issues that local residents are constantly just, you know, raising concerns about, saying, okay, you know, are local officials putting more money and more effort into attracting tourists because that's where the money is? And meanwhile, local infrastructure, local residents are not getting the same amount of attention that they deserve. And I think that that's only been growing in recent years as the cost of living has been increasing. You did see it in 2022, as you touched on, where originally the ratio for how the tourism funds were spent, or the occupancy tax was spent, originally it was 3/4 to promotion and 1/4 to capital projects. In 2022, due to that public outcry that we've been seeing build, you know, you had people as across the political spectrum as Congressman Chuck Edwards, Republican, and local Democratic officials here joining forces to change the state law to free up more of that money for local projects. So it's likely you'll continue to see that push. I think public opinion here is really, when it comes to, you know, when people are pointing fingers to sort of assign blame for where money may be not being judiciously spent, in their opinion, the Tourism Development Authority is probably the number one place that I hear people mention.
So, Tony, are we hearing any rumblings like that here? I know we've had conversations about that, that when we give money to Bank of America Stadium or we give money to the Hornets, we're supporting billionaires. But some of that money also goes to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And without that money, they'd probably lock the doors because I don't think anybody goes to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. But nonetheless, has there been any rumbling about, hey, some of that money, we should get some of that money for us? We live here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you saw last week. You know, when some of these city council members that you mentioned said, listen, there is money out there, and we should be looking at all possibilities. There are already a lot of tourism-related projects that are sort of vying for that money. You know, if you were to sort of broaden that, you can only imagine what, you know, local political leaders, you know, could spend it on. But certainly, yes, you're starting to see some rumblings on that. Whether there's a whether that is a majority of the city council, I'm skeptical that that is actually a majority. But it certainly sounds like a conversation, you know, that's going to be ongoing.
So, Felicia, you alluded to Carrituck County, which is on the coast, and they have been moving some of this tourist money around, and they just lost a case in which the North Carolina Court of Appeals said that Carrituck commissioners violated the 2004 amendment to state law by spending occupancy tax proceeds on items other than tourist-related expenses. The court ruled that Carrituck County cannot use the funds for public safety. Tell us what you can about the legal reasoning there, because it seems to me that spending it on fire and police and public safety is a tourist issue. They want to feel safe while they're in your town.
Absolutely, yes. I think that's at the heart of this issue. So, and to put this into numerical perspective, we're talking about $40 million that was spent by the county over the past 15 years. So this is a huge amount of money that they are now having to scramble to figure out how to pay back in some way. So basically, in 1987, Carrituck County had a law that specifically, and so as we talked about earlier, every county, every municipality has its own detailed language. In this case, their language specifically said that their occupancy tax dollars, 75% of them could be spent on things such as waste disposal, police protection, emergency services. So these were actually in the law. And so, you know, the county government understandably spent money on those things. The law changed in 2004 along with an increase in the occupancy tax, and the language of that particular section of it changed. And so it in the new version, it came to resemble a lot of the legislation that we've seen in other parts of the state regarding tourism-related expenditures. And in this case, they included a clause on beach nourishment because that's also a big problem there. And so since 2004, the county government had continued to spend its money without any change, even though the language of the law had changed. And so in 2019, a group of local homeowners and a local civic association spoke up and said, hey, you know, this is wrong. This money shouldn't be spent on, you know, they were doing things, I believe, like, you know, building a new YMCA and funding fire and EMS and things that, as you said, Mike, yeah, could definitely be seen as, you know, being related to tourism, especially on the emergency services front. But the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which they filed in 2019, said that actually that wasn't the case and they didn't want to see that money being spent toward those things, and that the county government should have been focusing specifically on beach nourishment, which they alleged it hadn't. So after 5 years of litigation, we just found out last month that the appeals court overturned the original court's ruling, and now the county is on the hook for $40 million. Mm. So here in Buncombe County, even though we're on the other side of the state, it was surprising to me that at the Tourism Development Authority's recent annual retreat here, this was the very first thing that they talked about, and they had a very lengthy presentation. And to me, that sounded like a warning that they were giving to everyone here. Hey, we got to really be careful about how we spend this money.
Well, I was going to ask you if this court decision, which has put Carrituck County on the hook for $40 million to pay back essentially from misappropriating funds in the eyes of the courts, is it limited to just Carrituck County, or are there ramifications for everywhere in the state, including Buncombe and Mecklenburg?
It's a really great question. I think, you know, to be fair, their case is very unique, I would say, from the analyses that I've read on it. They had a very specific case with their language being changed. And here in Buncombe County and elsewhere, I don't think you've got that type of issue. So it wouldn't be an exact mirror image of what we've seen there, but I think there is still of risk for a lot of counties and municipalities that they could face pushback. And as Tony mentioned, especially from the hospitality industry, that their main goal here is to get those heads in beds. And the letter of the law supports that. And so it's just a matter of whether there would be any legal pushback.
So, yeah, Mike, so maybe, I think you are going to see some of these counties probably taking a hard look at that case and saying, what does this mean for us, even if it doesn't directly affect them. Also, should also mention, I saw today that that ruling is going to be appealed by the county down there. So it's not the final word necessarily.
So perhaps it's because I don't know the ins and outs of everything the law says in Carrituck County and won't. But I do know this, that the Carrituck County tax, occupancy tax, is 6%. And they proportion it differently than Mecklenburg. I think in Carrituck, the county's tourism authority keeps one third of those tax proceeds. The remainder goes to the general fund for spending by the county in the commissioner's discretionary budget authority. So is Mecklenburg set up that way, or does it all go to tourism dollars? I mean, if they can use some of that money for their general fund, why can't we? Why can't we petition to have that if suddenly city council and county commission feel that there are other needs that could be met using this money?
Yeah, I mean, we could certainly, I mean, our county could certainly, and city could certainly petition for that. I think it's likely to be unsuccessful unless you have widespread buy-in from political and business and hospitality leaders. But yeah, I mean, these are all set up differently county to county. So there's no reason why we couldn't ask for that if that's something that our county wanted.
Well, Raleigh didn't come down, I don't think, on Carrituck County. A lawsuit was brought, and the courts made that decision. Raleigh hasn't really interfered in how Asheville is doing things or Buncombe County is doing things. In Mecklenburg, there's always this friction between Raleigh and the great state of Mecklenburg, which is what they consider us. Is that part of the problem here? They just don't like us.
I think there is a dynamic, and it's similar to what you see in Asheville, frankly, where you have Democratic cities, controlled by majority Democratic politicians in the cities, and then a Republican legislature. Now, that's not always, that doesn't always determine what happens. I mean, if people can get together, and you saw this in Mecklenburg, on the extension of the food and beverage tax, you had leaders from both parties. You had John Bradford, a Republican from the northern part of Mecklenburg County, who championed extending the food and beverage tax for 30 years, which is not something you typically see Republicans speaking favorably of taxes, but they went ahead and did it, and they got it done. You saw the same thing in Buncombe County when, as we've talked about, they changed how they're apportioning that money for tourism promotion versus capital projects. So that is a factor. If it's just the cities, if it's Democratic cities going to Raleigh asking for something, that can be tough. But if they have buy-in from their Republican colleagues and from the business community, then it's a little bit easier.
Before I run out of time, I want to ask you about something that is a legitimate concern, because I remember when we were wooing the Western and Southern Open Tennis Tournament with plans to build this enormous tennis complex out in the River District, which would have had several stadia, parking for thousands of cars, facilities for amateur tennis players and pickleball and things like that. There was concern that that would have drained too much money from the commitments that we've already made to refurbish Bank of America Stadium when it comes up, to refurbish Spectrum Arena when it comes up, to build the practice facility, which at the time I think we were planning to build for the Hornets. Now they're going to do it on their own. Would we have put those commitments in jeopardy, and would using this money for things like transit and affordable housing put those commitments in jeopardy?
Yeah, the city's always a little bit cagey on what exactly the outlook is and how they're allocating this for the future. They keep referring to them as sort of horizon projects, which are projects off in the future that might at some day need some tourism money. I would add, they mentioned Discovery Place also last week. They said, look, that's a 40-year-old building. At some point, that might take some tourism money to help spruce up. There's obviously the Panthers. There is a limited amount of money, certainly. So it's just a question of sort of what that all goes for. And if you spread it more broadly and you spend it on some of these things we've been talking about, then that's less money for something else. Yeah. But it's a little bit hard to know how exactly that shakes out.
I have 15 seconds left. Given what you've watched going on in Buncombe County, what you've seen going on with the courts in Carrituck County, where do you see this going, Tony, in Mecklenburg? I literally have 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
I think nothing much is going to happen. It's going to stay the same as it always has.
And what about Buncombe? Are they going to change their way of doing business, Felicia?
I would say April 24th is the day to watch. Circle that on your calendars and check the Tourism Development Authority's live stream. But yeah, it'll definitely be worth watching.
Felicia Sanmez, it's Growth and Development Reporter, Blue Ridge Public Radio. Tony Macia with the Charlotte Ledger.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.